And now at this time, as we're giving, we just want to prepare our hearts for the word. Amen. This is just a small testimony that I have about meeting Pastor Kayaton. Me and my husband, we moved here from Michigan maybe about 4 years ago now. We've been going to this church for a little bit over a year, and we had been here for 3 years without a shepherd. We had just been going from church to church trying to find, like, where should we make our home? Where should we be? We had been going, like, streaming services online, and we Googled and came across Church on the North Coast. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Google. And we reached out to Pastor Tina and Pastor Kayaton, and we just asked them to go to coffee with us because we wanted to know, you know, if we go to this church, can we talk to the pastor? Is he going to be accessible to us? And they met us for coffee, and we went to Starbucks, and the rest has just been history. But I thank God because he said he would give you a pastor after his own heart to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And truly, when you have such a gift, you ought to honor him. Amen. So can we give him a clap? Can we shout? Can we thank God for a pastor after his own heart for us? Amen.
You can keep that. Thank you so much. Amen. Give it up for Brittany. Didn't she do well this morning? Awesome job. Yeah, she's an amazing woman and is a principal of a high school? In Cleveland, and just an amazing girl. If you don't know her, get to know her. And you might want to get to know Mike, too. Just kidding. Michael's over there. Michael is Brittany's husband, right? Amen. It's great to have you here this morning. Happy Sunday, everybody. Our hearts are a little heavy here in Lorain County today. Before I preach the word, I wanted us to pray for the Velez family. Officer Ken Velez was run down and killed just this week. If you haven't heard about it, this Thursday at Lorain High School will be the service. Patrolmen and police officers from all over the county. And LCC, they moved it now, okay. LCC, the funeral service will be there. And Ohio State patrolmen. And women, you know, protect us on the highways. And, you know, we just need to pray for the Velez family. And if you can send your condolences, I'm sure they'd appreciate that very much. And many of you knew Officer Ken Velez personally. I know Eddie Mendez did and others here today. So can we just offer a prayer of ministry and comfort to them? Let's do that. Father, we know that when tragedy strikes, we look around and wonder. We often ask why. We often ask, God, what is the purpose in this? But Lord, right now, let us look beyond the whys and the wherefores, and let us, O Father, look to you. May our eyes lift high enough to see you on your throne. Bring comfort and peace to this family. And this week, as people mourn over the loss of this great community servant, we ask this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, you know what? Friday, and Nui was there, her and her company, Key Bank, sponsored an entire table of leaders throughout Lorain County. We gathered at the new Oberlin Hotel in the city of Oberlin. It's now open. It was a pretty cool place. And we had the Lorain County Urban League under the direction of Frank Whitfield. He was there, and I as well participated in the luncheon. And I was able to share something, and I want to tell you about it real quickly, that the Lord gave me, and I'm going to ask for your help. When I went a couple of weeks ago or months ago to the prayer time, and Jesse, I'm so happy to see you. Come up here and give me a hug. I know you're embarrassed, but I'll meet you halfway. Come on. Excuse me. This is just like a personal thing. Sorry. I'll be right back. I love you, man. You trimmed your beard.
I know.
Yeah, it looks great. All right. Anyway, sorry about that, dude. I almost texted you this morning, but I thought, nah, Holy Spirit, text him. Anyway, tell him I love him. Now I got to tell you personally. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, a couple months ago, we had a prayer meeting because of all the violence in the country. Remember, people were being shot. Police and community and African-American community were protesting. Many people were standing up and saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, Black Lives Matter and all of the controversy around that and Colin Kaepernick on the set for 49ers kneeling during the national anthem and all the rage that that requires of individuals, and people are on one side of the issue or the other. And God put in my heart and he said, you know what I really want you to do is besides pray as a community and then dismiss, do something about it. So he gave me this concept called My Shoes, My Story. And what it is basically is I'm going to interview people who have experienced life's difficulties. For example, one of them I have is Pastor Tossie Wiley, who as a young man grew up in, I think it's Princeton Pike, Virginia, as a young boy back in 1959. And his story is basically segregation was very strong in that community, and they shut down the local schools because they didn't want to integrate them. So rather than integrate them, they shut them down. However, during that time, all of the white children got vouchers and were bused to a nearby county to go to school, while the African-American children were out of school, some of them up to 4 years. Tossie was one of them. He worked in bare feet for a white farmer on a tobacco farm and never had a direct conversation with a white person until he was 13 years of age. Think about that. I'm not talking about the 1800s. I'm talking about 1959. Now, I wanted to get his story out there because I wanted to create conversation. Conversation with courage. That's what we're calling it. To say, hey, look, if you knew his story, would you relate to him differently? Would you understand him? Would you begin to have empathy with him and his perspectives in life? Of course you would. Or like Jamie Ross, who was here a couple of months ago as a heroin addict, has 5 children. She had one of her children die in the womb when she was incarcerated, high on heroin. A lot of people can look at that grandma, grandpa with the 4-year-old in the back seat and go, you know what, they deserve to die. They shouldn't be such abusers of their own body and put their child at risk. But people don't, nobody deserves to die, and nobody deserves to be segregated against. Nobody deserves to have injustice. Nobody does. And so I asked her to give her testimony, and I have those available today for only those who will do me a favor. I want you to take one of these videos, or you can download it from YouTube, My Shoes, My Story. You can play it there. And I have a website that's information called myshoesmystory.net, and I want to get your feedback from what I'm about to ask you to do. I want you to take this video or download it from YouTube and invite about 8 to 10 people into your home or at a coffee shop or out to eat, and make sure it's diverse in ethnicity, and play the video. And then we have 6 very direct questions that we want you to talk about, and I want to hear your feedback on that. I want to know how the conversation went. Now, some of you may not be courageous enough to do that. Others may think, what's the point? I think that when we have conversation around these topics, we become educated, we learn, and the Holy Spirit can really minister to everybody included. So I have about 8 DVDs prepared, and if you think, Pastor, you know what, I'd like to host one at my job, maybe my boss will allow me to do it for lunch, on a lunch break, they're only 8 minutes long. Maybe I could do one in my community where I am involved. Maybe I'm involved in the Lions Club or Kiwanis Club or some other community civic organization. Maybe you'd like to do it in your neighborhood or in your home, but you'd be willing to have a courageous conversation here in Lorain County and the surrounding neighborhoods to say, you know what, we're not going to not talk about this anymore. Because to live as though it doesn't exist is wrong. And if we don't talk about it, all we do is get angry when somebody tries to make a statement outside of our immediate circle of influence, and then we judge. Here's the thing that I like what Frank Whitfield said, no grudge, no judge. If you're going to watch this video and answer these questions, don't be grudged and don't be judged, okay? So how many would say, Pastor, I'll do that and I'll report back to you my findings. Can you hold up your hand? Eddie, could you give them a DVD? And I have 8 of them. And if you can't, okay, there's one there. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7, 8. Okay, So I think I have enough for the people that raised their hand. Now, here's the reason why I want to get this information back as soon as possible. Can you do it within the next 2 weeks? Okay. If you can, get the information back of your findings. And the questions that I have for you, I will post on myshoesmystory.net. I don't have the questions prepared for you now, but we want you to follow these questions. Now, what we're going to try to do is bring unity in Lorain County. Did you know Sunday morning is the most segregated morning or day in America? Are you aware of that? It is, because white people go to their white churches, black people go to their black churches, Hispanic people go to their Hispanic churches. And then on our way there, we're divided again. We're segregated again based on what we believe and our backgrounds. And so there's this all this division. And really, the house of God ought to be the place where there's the most unity about all of us, right? Because it's Jesus as the common denominator. So on Sunday, December 4th, right here in this auditorium, December 4th, write it down. It's my wife's birthday. December 4th, December 4th, right here, we have a special guest speaker. The Urban League, and I'm involved in it, are bringing to Lorain County the youngest daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King, Bernice King. She will be here in this platform on December 4th at 4 p.m. We're asking to fill this house with 2,000 people. We haven't had 2,000 people in here since T.D. Jakes. 1995, we had 2,000 in here. We can fit 2,000 and we're going to do it. And we want to see every ethnicity represented. And we're going to deliver a presentation and she'll deliver a message that says, Lorain County is different. And this is a pattern that every community in America can follow. And I feel confident that we as a church in this region can set the pace for community change all over, whether it's in New Orleans or whether it's in Maryland and Baltimore or whether it's up in Minnesota or it's in Chicago, where there's been over 3,000 shootings this year, and it appears as though they just keep continuing. I think it's time for us to have courageous conversations. Okay? All right, some of you looking at me like, okay, what has that got to do with the sermon? It's got everything to do with the sermon. All right? Good. So if you need to, go to YouTube. You know how to go into YouTube. Type in My Shoes, My Story. Look for that, and you'll find it, and you'll enjoy those testimonies, okay? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's get to the Word this morning, all right? Amen. We're very excited about the upcoming 10 Days of Prayer. If you're not familiar with that, October 2nd, we're going to host 10 Days of Prayer, Valley View location live. We're thinking about simulcasting it to Lorain and Wycliffe and other churches that may want to participate. But we're really believing that we need to pray. We need to step up our prayer. By the way, Thursday nights, I'm going to challenge you. You need to show up on Thursday night for 1 hour to pray. You say, well, why? I got other things going on. No. If you'll learn to pray, those things will happen all by themselves. All right? Please show up on prayer Thursday night, Wednesday night, out in the East, Thursday night here. It's going to be powerful. So October 2nd, you'll learn more about it. 10 days of prayer. All right, John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Wow, think about that. Next verse, please. Verse 38. He who believes in me. Can you imagine Jesus saying this in the temple that day as they celebrated? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, say it with me, the rest of it, will flow rivers of living water. Wow, plural, rivers, not river, but rivers. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. So he's talking about the rivers in relationship to the Spirit. And here's what he said. Whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Wow, I thought, Lord, that reminds me of an old song we used to sing. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. None of you know that song, do you? You don't know that song. All right, that's one of the children's church songs we used to sing in children's church. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. It's bubbling, since Jesus made me whole. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling. And the kids would all go, woo! I'm not going to ask you to reenact that because some of us have lost our childlike playfulness. We're not as playful anymore. I tried to mimic my grandsons the other day and do what they do. Like when they walk from one room to the other, they run. They don't walk. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do that too. And I said, I'll be right back, Tina. I'm going to go get something out of the bedroom. I said, I'll be right back. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to regain my childhood playfulness. She said, it really looks stupid on you. You know that. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling in my soul. What are they talking about? They're talking about a well to spring up in you. He's talking about when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, something happens in you. But you know what happens to that bubbly after we get saved? It gets plugged up. It gets plugged up, sort of like in Isaiah where it talked about Abraham's wells. And Isaac was trying to redig his father's wells. Why? Because the enemy had plugged them up. Two of the wells that he redug, the enemy came back and contended for them. As a matter of fact, the first one was called Essek, contention. The second one was called Sitna, because there was hatred. I really believe that the body of Christ in general have allowed the enemy to plug up our rivers, our well. Yeah. And we're really not happy people. I just love seeing people smile when they come to church. I'm like, oh, you're smiling. That's amazing. Because most people don't. We carry the burdens. We carry the troubles. We look at situations as permanent, as grave. But let me tell you something. With God, all things are possible. And there's a river in you. There's a river in me. And multiple rivers to supply all of our needs. But if you and I allow this blockage in our lives, we will not have the flow of the Holy Spirit operating in us. You know, every day when you get up in the morning ought to be a day of, I'm reporting for duty, Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do today? Now, I have to go to work, and I have to pick up the kids, and I have to take them to soccer, and then I have to go to this meeting, and I have to do this. But God, what do you want me to do today? Sometimes we schedule ourselves so full, we don't have time to allow the Holy Spirit to go, excuse me, can you give me 5 minutes today? And would you go talk to this person? Would you go do this for me? See, a source of refreshing is created in a person's life upon receiving Jesus as their Savior. Refreshing. T and I were praying together this morning for the services. And we said, Lord, Acts 3:19. I think you quoted that, Jim, on Thursday night prayer. He quoted that saying, repent therefore and receive Jesus, and a time of refreshing will come from the Holy Spirit. We ought to be living in times of refreshing. And I said, Lord, refresh the church today. Refresh us, oh God. Make us happy again. Make us joy-filled again. Make us full of love again. Make us want to be with you and be with one another. Here's a powerful statement I found. I can't attribute it to anyone because I don't know where it came from, so it's marked unknown, but here's what it says. We are a walking oasis in a world that is a desert wasteland filled with lifeless men. Keep that up there just for a minute because I want to expound on that. Have you ever seen an oasis in a desert? I remember my first time traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's interesting there because you go through a desert. And Jericho was basically an oasis. The thing you see on movies and TV. It's basically palm trees and greenery right in the middle of nowhere. And people are drawn to an oasis because there's water there. If there wasn't water there, if there wasn't a river there, there would be no life there. Follow me? So we, as God's people, are what? Walking oasis in a world that is in a desert wasteland. And they're filled with lifeless men. But we do not want to be a mirage to this generation. Come on, look at somebody and say, don't be a mirage. Now look back at them and go say, what is that? That is a vision of what should be, but when you get there, it's elusive and it's further down the road and you never can get there. There's no refreshment. There's no sustenance. There's no life. We are a mirage. We have church buildings. We have choir. We have robes. We have preaching. We have singing. But there is no river flowing and no refreshing for the people. We are obligated in this generation to be a walking oasis that everywhere we go, oh, people want to know all about the river that's flowing in my soul. Don't get too close or I'm going to splash on you. I wanted this morning to put a sign on my neck that says splash zone. You know, it's like, look, when you come to the house of God, you ought to expect to get splashed. You ought to expect to get wet. It's like people that used to go to SeaWorld. I don't know if SeaWorld's still open, but everybody would fight to sit on the front row to see Shamu. And then get mad when Shamu gets them wet. That's part of the program. Shamu comes up and goes, whoosh, and the water goes, whoo, and everybody goes, ah, I'm getting wet. Well, what'd you sit there for? Huh? It's like coming to church, you get wet, you get splashed with the Holy Ghost, and then you get mad. I can't believe I went there and got wet. Hey, this is a river place. This is a place where the Holy Ghost flows, and we ought to all be refreshed by the Spirit of the living God. Can I get an amen in here? Oh, Lord Jesus. So what is this blockade? What is this blockage? I've seen it for so long, 40 years preaching this gospel. Man, hey, Tina. Now, I'm glad to see you. I have to ask you for a hug, but I can get one of them later. I couldn't get one later, so I had to get one from somebody else earlier, but I'll hug you later. What was I talking about? See, she just stole my brain. Huh? Splash. I know I was talking about splash, but I was going to tell you. Oh, blockage. That's it. Char, thank you. You're amazing. Hang around me more often. I have those moments more than I would like to admit. But the blockage in the Hebrew, sitna and esek, basically talks about contention or strife with our neighbors. People that we ought to be getting along with and we're not. Whether it's family members or neighbors or coworkers, we're angry people. We judge. We have grudges. We push people away. We prejudge. We profile. We categorize. God said, you know what? That blocks up my river. That blocks up my river. Why is America not in revival? Because America is all blocked up. Even in church, we even use church as a block in our spirit. I mean, listen, folks. Isaac said, okay, fine, if that's what you're going to do, I'm out of here. He moved away and he said, I'm going to dig another well because I'm not dealing with that. You and I got to get to that place. We're not dealing with that stuff. We're not dealing with unforgiveness. We're not dealing with contention. We're not dealing with judgment on other people. No way. We're not going to do that. We're going to love people the way God loves people because God created them in His image. You say, yeah, but look at them. They're transgender or they're homosexual or, yeah, but look at they're a heroin addict or, yeah, but look, they're a thug or they're a gang banger or whatever. No, 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 you don't understand. That's what you call them, but God didn't call them that. And I got to call them what God calls them. I can't be calling people what everybody else calls. You know why? Because it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Splash, splash. And I'm just like believe that you can be what God has called you to be. I just believe He's a redeemer, restorer. He's a God that sets and appoints, builds up, doesn't tear down. He is a good God all the time. Come on, lift your hands up and say, you're a good God. Woo! And finally, you know what Isaac did? Isaac moved away from the second contended well and named it Rehoboth. Roa what? Rehoboth. You know what it means? He made room for me. He made room for me. He'll make room for you. I don't care what injustice you've experienced, when you watch Tossie Wiley's testimony, I was him. I listened to it. I'm like, I'm angry. I'm angry, and I'm not even African-American, and I'm angry. Why aren't you angry, Tossie? Why aren't you angry? Why aren't you telling somebody the injustice? But you know what happens? You can move away from that. You can move away from anger. You can move away from unforgiveness. You can move away from contention and find Rehoboth. And he found Rehoboth. And when he went to that junior high school in Baltimore, Maryland, of all places, and he entered into a junior high school where it was 70% Caucasian, 70%. And when he enrolled the first day, understand, he had never had a direct conversation with another white person in his life. He could have stayed at Essex. He could have stayed at Sitna. But he decided to move to Rehoboth, where God would make room for him. Why? Because he had a praying grandmother. He had a praying mother. He had a praying friend, and they spoke over his life from the time he was a baby. Barefooted and working in the tobacco field didn't change him, because prayers were too powerful that kept him. Why do we have to pray? Why do we come together on Thursday night? Because there's too many where the enemy is trying to steal away their refreshing, and we are going to contend for them because God has a plan for their life. Come on, if you're going to shout, shout. Come on, you believe it, right? You believe it. Amen, I believe this. And Tossie said, when I went to that school, I was taught that I was inferior because my skin was dark. And I thought, Lord, I'm not inferior. But God, why do they feel like they're superior? Why do I feel like I'm inferior? He said, I'm going to prove it different. He said, he started studying 4 or 5 hours a night. Mind you, he'd been out of school because of the injustice. And he did it all the way through high school, and he had a 4.0 average. He went on to college with a scholarship, and he became an accomplished attorney. And he's also been a pastor and a leader in the city of Cleveland. And he's made a video. He made a video to tell his story. And too many people are camping out at Sitna and Essex in this generation because there has been hate. There has been unforgiveness. There has been injustice. But we got to move them to Rehoboth. But they can't get there if we are a mirage oasis. We got to have it in our own spirit. You got to come to me and get a drink, honey. You got to come to me and get wet. You got to come to me and get splashed on. Why? Because I got a river flowing out from me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Spring up a well within my soul. Amen? You got to walk around every day and say, spring up a well. In McDonald's, in Walmart, in wherever I'm at. I just want to make an announcement this morning. I know you all are standing there for your cheeseburger. But I'm a man or I'm a woman who's got rivers flowing in them, and I am susceptible to be able to break out at any given moment. And if you don't want to get wet, I advise you to move right now. Well, I'm just kidding. You wouldn't say that, but you understand the concept. So I started looking in the Bible. I said, God, help me with this rivers thing. Help me with this rivers thing. And he showed me in 1 Corinthians that we are the garden of God. Did you know you're a garden? You're the field of God. You're the garden of God. God said, you are a garden. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians something, something, 3:9, I think. And if we're God's planting, God's garden, there it is. If we're God's garden, we're God's planting, I immediately went back to the Garden of Eden, Roger. That's where I went. I said, well, that's a garden. And God, if we're your garden, then what happened in your garden? God said, I planted it, but it had to have rivers to sustain it. How many know if you don't water your plants over the summer, there'll be the little brown things like, you got a beautiful pot with a dead plant. We're real good at that, Tina and me. We don't even bother planting them anymore. We're like, did you water flowers? I said, no, I thought you were. No, I didn't do it either. I said, no wonder, look at them. She said, they'll come back to life. Water them now. I'm putting all this water on. They're like, too much. Some people don't know how to water plants. That's me. It's funny how some people's grass are so green. Green lawn, brown, 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 brown. Green, brown, brown, brown. Low water bill, low water bill, low water bill. High water bill, low water bill, low water bill. High water bill. That's why I don't water it. I ain't paying that. There is a price for your river. And we have been learned, we have been taught, we have been accommodated brownness, dryness, we had parchedness, desert living, wasteland. We've learned to survive. But God didn't call you to survive. God called you to thrive. Come on now. He wants us to go to another level. And He said, I'm going to plant you, but I'm going to sustain you. I'm not giving you one river. I'm not giving you two rivers. I'm not giving you three rivers. I'm giving you four rivers that are going to flow out of one main river. I'm going to get there someday out of Ezekiel, because that river came from the very throne of God, and it started ankle deep, then it went knee deep, then it went thigh deep, and it went waist deep, and it was so deep you could not swim over it. God said, out of that river, I'm going to bring in four river heads. Here's what He said. Genesis 2:10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Water the garden. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Fancy that. God planted a garden. He should have created it self-sustaining. But He didn't. He said, no, I planted it, but it needs a river. It's part of my creative thought. You got saved, but you need a river, honey. So I don't need to go to church. River! I don't need to pray. River! I don't need to worship. River! I don't need Christian fellowship. River! You need a river. Why? Because God's creative genius was to plant four river heads in the garden. First one was called Pishon. I love this name, Pishon. That'd be a great name for a kid. So anybody having more children, I'm looking over this way. Anybody having more children, call them Pishon. Can you imagine? Pishon! Dinner's ready! Well, what a name for a river, Pishon. Well, what does it mean? It means this, increase or full flowing. Did you know it's not God's desire? Please get this to you in your spirit. I want you to read it. If you can put it up there. It is not God's desire. Come on, read this with me like you really mean it. Ready? It is not God's desire for us to live a drained, depleted, or deficient life. That's not God's plan. It's not His will. So I just feel so drained. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. We need a river to flow out from us. I feel so depleted. I feel so deficient. I feel so inferior. You need a river to flow in your life. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you are God's garden. Pishon means increase or full flowing. Did you know that Ephesians 3:19 says that we might be filled with the fullness of God? The fullness of God? You didn't get saved to get the partial of God. A piece of God? Come get saved and have a piece of Jesus. No, come get saved and get the fullness of the power of God. We ought to walk into the fullness of God. And if you're here today, you're depleted or you're drained or you feel like you're deficient, you need a river. You need another touch. You need another dip. You need another splash. You need to get wet. You need to say, spring up, oh well. Something is blocking my river. Talked with a pastor this week. He said, I just need to talk to you. There's some situations going on in my church, and I need your counsel. And I said, I don't know if I have anything to say, but all right, ask me. I said, what they need is to get off the river. They need to get off of the path of unforgiveness and get into the river of the Holy Spirit. Yes, because they don't realize that when they get on the path of unforgiveness, it has a destination, and it's called death and separation. You cannot walk on the path of unforgiveness and expect to be blessed and to have your needs met, and to have a joy-filled life, and to have a life of peace. You're going to have a life of depletion and deficiency. You're going to find yourself in depression, because unforgiveness is a sin, and it recreates a bitterness spirit, and it has roots, and it has fruit, and you have to eat of it. You've got to get off of that pathway. We need to get back into the river. 1 John, or John rather, chapter 1, verse 16 says, out of His fullness, out of abundance. This is the Amplified Bible. I like this verse. We have all received and had a share. We were all supplied with supplied, backpacked. It's in your backpack. You've been supplied. It's been delivered. It's in the package that you hadn't opened yet. Supplied. One grace after another. Say that with me. One grace after another. What's grace? Somebody said, unmerited favor. It is the empowerment of God. One empowerment after another. So I just don't know if I'm going to make it. No, wait a minute. 1 John 1:16 says, I've been given one power after another, one strength after another. I can do this. Spring up, oh well. I can do this. Spring up, oh well. You said I could do it. Then he goes on and he said, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Sometimes you got to get up in the morning and say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am. What's the other word part of that verse? Come on, somebody help me. I am hidden away, blessed of God. Anyway. See, I've been around too long. I go so far back, you all don't even remember the music. You probably know this one. They call me Mellow Yellow. That's right. How many remember that one? Don't raise your hand. Now, why didn't you remember he's bubbling and bubbling, bubbling in my soul? Look at this, look at this, look at this. Watch. Spiritual blessing, even favor upon favor. I mean, I wish somebody would just say hallelujah. I mean, you know, get a little excited. God said, I've given you favor upon favor, grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Shout me down for being so depressed, depleted, and deficient. Second River, Gihon. Say Gihon. That'd be a great name for twins. Pishon and Gihon. I double dare you to do that. Double dog dare somebody to have twins and go, Pastor, this is my baby, Pishon and Gihon. You remember that day you preached that sermon? The Holy Spirit said, name my kids, Pishon and Gihon. I'll stand here and go, really? What does it mean? It means bursting forth. Everybody say bursting forth. So the first river is fullness. The second river is bursting forth or gushing. Say this now with me. Put it up on the slide. It's not God's desire. Come on, put that up there with me. It is not God's desire for us to live a selfish and isolated life. Say it again. It is not God's desire for us to live a selfish and isolated life. Period. You forgot the period. What am I trying to emphasize? I'm trying to emphasize the fact that there is a river in you that is full flowing. There is a river in you and in me that is also bursting forth. Bursting forth. What does that mean? It means that just like David, when he went into battle, Baal-perazim, he named the place Baal-perazim when God gave him the victory because it was a breakthrough. Your river, Gihon, is like a breakthrough river. It is a bursting forth river. I know you're going through trouble. I know you're going through struggles. I know you're going through trial. But thank God you got me as a friend because I've got a Gihon up inside of me that says I'm going to burst forth. And just like David brought the victory for all of Israel, my river is going to burst forth on your behalf. That's why who you hang out with is important. I got to have people who got a river up in their soul. Bursting forth. I don't mind hanging out with you. I don't care if you're going to get me wet. I don't care if you splash on me. We've got to move on to the bursting forth level of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be able to, at any given moment, burst out in the Holy Spirit. I was at this dinner luncheon thing on Friday, and I got up to the line to get some soup, and this beautiful girl said, hi, how are you? And I said, I'm living the dream, baby. Living the dream. God's got amazing things going on in my life. She goes, oh, that's nice. I said, what's your name? And she told me her name, and I told her my name. And I said, did you know that God has an amazing plan for you? And I started feeling bubbling. I'm like, God, not right here. This is like an important luncheon, and you don't want me to do this now. And it was going, boom, 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 boom. I said, hey, Morgan, God's got a great plan for your life, honey. I better move on right now. Better move on right now. Why? Because I felt a busting, a bursting. I felt like it was trying to get out. Get out. It can happen anytime. When you have this river, it'll just want to get out. And when it wants to get out, it wants to impact somebody and give them victory. That's the kind of life as Christians we were called to live. Overflow, grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and a bursting out. When you're in trouble, you got the right person right here, because I'll pray you through. I'll believe God for you. Why did some of these young men and women make it? Why did Tossie make it? Because he talks about his praying grandmother. He talked about the mothers in the church who knew how to call heaven down into the place of the lives of their babies and their children and a generation. Church, it is a bursting forth. It's not God's desire for us to merely live lives of survival or even success, but to move beyond that and truly live lives of significance. And the way I live a life of significance is not by amassing a bigger piece of the pie. It's finding you in your stupor and give you what I have, like Peter and John, silver and gold, I have not. But what I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping. And that's what happens. Church folk, they get saved. They're all happy. They're coming like, they don't miss church. They're like, we have church tonight? I'm like, no, not tonight. Why not? I said, well, you know, I don't know. Hey, man, they're at church, worship. They're coming up in the front. They're like, whoop, whoop, bless you, Jesus. Whoop, whoop. They look around, and all the other people are like. You know, when you first get saved, you got river stuff going on. You're so full. You're so bursting forth. I mean, you're like a real problem in the church. You're like showing us all up. It's like, who let her in? We don't do that here. Can you quiet down? Usher, would you please tell her to shh. Then somebody complains. You know, I've heard them say, well, Pastor, what are we going to do about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? Don't worry about it. In 6 months, they'll be like all of us. Unfortunately, it's true. Come on now. Unfortunately, it's true. This place ought to be the happiest, bursting forth, overflowing, full life, accepting, loving place on the planet. When you come up in here on Sunday, we ought to be like, whoa! I don't know what Jesus is about ready to do, but I got a feeling it's going to be awesome. Come on, somebody shout awesome. Shout awesome. Well, I don't know about that, Brother Kayton. Brother Kayton, yeah. Brother Kayton. You must be Sitna. I see Sitna all over your face. I see Essek all over your face. We need to dig another well. Look, here's a tendency. We as humans tend to adjust to the environment around us. You and I were never called to adjust to the environment around us. Be not conformed. Be not conformed. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. See, we're not called to conform to the rest of the boring church world. And we just come into church and praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I just want you to know, I don't believe that. Sweetheart, I don't care whether you believe it or not. I know that once she had cancer, now she doesn't. So I'm going to be praying for the sick. Well, you don't have to get all that excited in church. Look, you don't have to be all that dead in church either. Why you feel like you have to have peer pressure to conform to an unbelieving generation? We don't have to be like them. Yeah, but they're growing. They got a big church. They got all kind of nice programs. Look, I just want to know, they got a river there? If they ain't got no river there, I'm not going. I'll go to a river in the desert. Doesn't matter to me. Because I can go to wasteland and grow an oasis. All I need is the river of God to flow in my life. If you got the river in you, it's only a matter of time, because the outside is about to be transformed by what's on the inside. You be of good cheer this morning. You might have gone through trouble, trial, all kind of mess, but if you got a river flowing, if you can get Essek and Sitna out and get to Rehoboth, it's only a matter of time before palm trees are going to begin to grow and dates are going to begin to form, and there's going to be beauty all around you, because there's a river of life flowing out of you. River number three. Everybody show me three. Three. Look at your neighbor and say, this is river number three. I do not advise you to name any of your kids after the third river. Pishon, Gihon, cool. Hiddekel, nah. I would not name my son Hiddekel. Hiddekel? No, that's just way too easy to mess up with. It's the Tigris River. It's the third of the four heads that flowed out of the river of God in the Garden of Eden to sustain the garden. God said to Adam and Eve, tend and keep the garden. But God knew that they could not tend, produce it, cultivate it, keep it, guard it without the river flowing. So he gave them a river. We are God's garden. Now, this third river means swift or a darting rapidly. It's not God's desire for us to live a sinless and ambiguous life. It's not God's desire for us to manage our hate, manage our sin. It's not God's desire for us to be doing all that. No, no, no. We are called to be swift and rapid flying. Now, what does that mean? It means like an arrow. You're like an arrow, not in the quiver, not even in the quiver. You say, well, I'm in the Lord's quiver. No, you're not. You're on the Lord's bowstring. You're not an arrow on the ground with potential. You are there. You are on the mount. You are ready to be dispatched. This river is as if you've been fired. You've been shot by the hand of God, and you are swiftly moving through the air. That's what it is in the morning. You are like a rapid fire believer. God, thank you. I know I'm on assignment today, and you're going to show me where I need to go. Hiddekel means darting. It's a word picture of a swift arrow in flight. I'm a swift arrow in flight. I got so much going on, I can't keep up with me. I put things on my calendar. Like yesterday, I had a thing on my calendar. I didn't have it on my calendar. It was supposed to be on my calendar. And I had it for the next Sunday. And it was last night. I'm like, how'd that happen? And I got an email that says, we want you to speak. And you'll be there at 6 o'clock. I'm like, is that tonight? Sometimes you are in such a rapid, accelerated movement that you can't keep up with yourself. But understand something. Holy Spirit is your manager. He's your counselor. He will tap you on the shoulder. All we've got to do is not resist the flight. We have been called to be propelled rapidly into this generation. Like an arrow in flight, we must have aim at a target or a goal. I'm going to tell you what my goal is. I forget those things which are behind me. Come on, somebody say it with me. Forget those things behind me. Forget them. I messed up last week. Forget it. Don't tell me about it. Forget it. Forget those things behind me. But I press on. I press on. Press, 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 press. I press on and make that iron hot, and I put the pressure on that shirt. Get them wrinkles out. I press on. Where? To the high mark. On the upward high mark of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a goal, honey. When I get out of here, I want to look as much like Jesus as I possibly can. That's my goal. Every day, I'm like a rapid fire. I'm like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, look like you, I want to act like you, I want to talk like you. God, get me, purge me, get this stuff out of me. And when it shows me again, help me to repent of it and then forget it and move on and press on to the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are pressing on to the high mark of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ? Shout hallelujah. You can't be depressed in the morning when you go, hey, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just got to get in the bathroom mirror, close the door, and say, all right, now listen up. And you ain't talking about nobody or to anybody but yourself. You're like, listen up. You are full of the Holy Ghost. On top of that, you're bursting forth at the seams. You understand me, son? You are bursting forth at the seams. And faster than a speeding bullet, that's you. You are on rapid pace fire assignment of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be a great day. Do you understand? You're about to hit the mark. Now, what is your mark? The upward calling of high Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Say it again. The upward call of the Lord Jesus. Say it again. I'm on the upward call of the high calling of Jesus Christ. All right, now go to work. Now go ahead, brush your teeth, shave, whatever you're going to do. Number four. Euphrates. It means sweet or fruitful. It's not God's desire for us to live an embittered or sour life in attitude. I'm just mad. Get over it. I'm sour. Get over it. You say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. No, I get it. But you don't understand. You can't camp out at this well called Essek or Sitna. You got to go to Rehoboth. If you don't get to Rehoboth, you are not going to live. You're going to die. You're not going to live because this thing is going to starve you out. You're going to be like one of them plants in the summer that you forgot to water. You're going to be dried up at the root. You got to get to the river. You got to let the river of God flow in your life. This is very serious. This is dangerous. Sweet or fruitful. Now notice something about the first three rivers. Number one, fullness. Number two, overflow. Number three, purpose. That's really what it is. The first river is fullness. The second river is overflow. The third river was purpose. And when those three are operating and flowing in your life, and these are functioning in your life, the end result will be fruit. Fruit. I can hardly wait to preach it someday if Jesus gives me a chance. The trees lined up in Revelation 22 along the river of life. And their leaves were for the healing of the nations, and they bore fruit every 30 days, every month. But notice where they were planted, by the river. But they were planted by the river to order to bear fruit. We ought to be the most fruitful generation. That would be so much love in this house, it drips off the walls. Forgiveness, love, mercy, grace, kindness. I met some of the meanest people that call themselves Christians. I'm like, you ain't got no river. Because the fruit in your life is not God's fruit. Look, here's what it is. I don't want people to remember me for anything. I always go to these funerals. I'm like so many funerals. I am funeraled out. I'm like, Jesus, just come get us so we can go to heaven and death is no more. I hate death. I was in a funeral yesterday. I just hate death. I hate to see the sorrow and the mourning and the pain in the lives of people. Now to hear about Officer Ken Belez, I hate that. It just hurts. It tears your heart out. But ladies and gentlemen, listen. I don't want to be known for building a church. They say, oh, I heard you guys open a church in Avon. Yeah, this is a life-saving station. It's a place for people to get rivers. I heard you got something in Wycliffe. Big deal. So what? Like we're something now because we got something in Wycliffe? Don't measure my success based on my possession or what I'm able to do. If you do that, I could fake you out. I could make you think I'm something that I'm not. Come on now. I could put it on. I could show. I know what you want. I can make you think I am awesome. Then when you're not in my presence, I'll be like just the regular old me. But I don't want any of that. I don't want to build things. I don't want people to say, oh, you were such a great pastor. No, no, no. I want you to say to me, he was so sweet. That's what I want. I want sweeter. Sweet. He was sweet. Every time I was around him, I just felt sweetness. I felt sweetness. When I left him, I'm like, oh, he's such a sweet man. See, that's really what we ought to be generating to other people based on the three rivers, that it produces fruit and people can smell and they can receive of the fruit, the sweetness of our life. And here's the old song. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and 16 people left from that song there. It's all right. He makes you sweet. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name I know. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Why is his name sweet? And you so sour? Hey, if he's sweet, you ought to be going, woo, that's sweet. There's times Tina will be eating something and I catch her. She'll eat something and I say, give me a kiss. And she gives me a kiss. I'm like, that's good. What you been eating? Because I taste the sweetness. You come in my life, if you come in contact with my life, you ought to taste the sweetness. Now, it's not easy because sometimes people are mean and ugly. And if you're not careful, you'll like dry up that river in you. And you're ready to like, I'm going to punch you out, man. So you got to just say, spring up, oh well. Within my soul right now because I'm about to slap this woman right here. Right here in this store. Right here in this customer service counter. Right? You know, you ever feel that way? I felt that way. I'm like, oh, Jesus, not here. I can only read it now. Newspapers tomorrow. Pastor at church on North Coast beats up woman at customer service. I'm like, Lord, I can't do that. Church would be upset with me. I'm like, oh, spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well. Hurry. We're supposed to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. I know you're not supposed to comment on men's cologne. I had this guy hug me the other day. Hey, Pastor, how are you? He gave me a hug and went, I wanted to say, man, you smell good. And I thought, no, that's not a guy thing. You don't say that. I don't think I feel comfortable telling, man, you smell good. So what I did, I let some time elapse, you know. I said, what's up, man? You know, pat, 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 pat on the back. Yeah, we broke. I said, man, I cloned you, man. That's an awesome clone. Where'd you get that? That's how you ask them. You don't hug him while you got your face to his ear. Boy, you smell good. But as Christians, we ought to be smelling good. Okay, lean over real carefully and just take a sniff of your neighbor. No, no, I'm just kidding. I got to quit. Because that's getting real goofy in here. I'm going to say this statement, probably one of the most profound statements the Lord's ever given me. And I say about all of them when he gives them to me, but this is like the latest, most profound. But when the river of life is flowing in you, Pishon, Gihon, Hedekel, Euphrates, when they're all flowing in you, it attracts life to you. Now let me explain that if you can keep that up on the screen. It draws greater life to you. Because everybody, wars have been fought over rivers and water rights. Because a nation without water rights can't continue to exist. So they'll fight for a river. Selah. Think about that. Muse for a minute, because you and I cannot exist without a river flowing in us. But when we do, we attract greater life to us. In Revelation 22, it says, the trees, plural, were planted by the river. Trees. Because that river attracted. It attracted greater life to it. Psalm, I love Psalm. Psalm 1. Okay, help me with it. Blessed is he who's... Yeah, he's planted. Like, what does it say about planting? Come on, somebody, you've been here all your life. What does it say? Come on, somebody, give me a Bible. Somebody have a Bible? Give me up your Bible, Pastor Jim. That is way too small for me, man. Anybody have a magnifying glass? Hey, I have a magnifying glass at home. Oh, there you go. Okay, here's your Bible back. Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to take some leave the other day. I was just trying to read the directions. Them directions are for 7-year-olds, man. I'm like, you can't read that. I put my glasses on and still couldn't read it. He shall be like a tree. Come on, somebody say it with me. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Isn't that crazy? Rivers of water. Come on. That bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Go, Jesus. Come on, I'm telling you right now, there's some trees about to be planted next to your life. Come on, God's got some trees, some prosperity, some strength. God's got some stuff coming to you. When he can trust you with the river waterway, he's going to make your life flourish. Amen? Amen. Amen.